It's 7 minutes after 10 o'clock. This Saturday, the Combined University Chorale, the Women's Ensemble Cantus Femina, and the University Chorale, the Chor.
The Collegiate Singers and Gold Company.
You jumped in just in time to save me. I should have started by introducing my guest, but I wanted to mention the concert right off, and it's a Choral Christmas coming up on Saturday with two programs at 4 and 7:30 p.m. At First Presbyterian Church downtown in Kalamazoo. And my guest is Kiwon Lambert.
Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to have you back so
Thank you.
Soon.
Thank you.
Folks, you may remember Kiwon from last week when he was here to help preview the Messiah Sing at First Congregational Church, where you are a choral scholar.
That's correct,
as
yes.
well as a Western Michigan University student, mm-hmm. voice student in the tenor family.
Yes.
I remember that. So let me catch up with the Messiah Sing. How was that performance?
It was a wonderful turnout. There was standing room only. We had people up in the chancel. There was a very large audience. We were still kind of slacking in the tenor section, but we held it together. But it was packed. It was packed to the brim.
And what more perfect circumstances could there be?
You know, I agree. And I appreciate all the community coming out to enjoy this this event with us at First Congregational Church. It's an annual thing. It's been an annual thing for a while, but it's nice to be a part of that and witness that while I'm here in Kalamazoo and here at Western studying and everything. So
maybe you'll continue to be part of different yearly Messiah Sings in any community you end
I
up
hope
in.
To. I really think it's a great way to start off the holiday season as a musician, you know, getting into those great works by those great composers who have these pieces and these masterworks that are just living on and on, you know, throughout the centuries and yeah. years and everything. So,
and not every masterwork is considered so beloved or almost owned by the congregation or the audience. And this is a piece that has been embraced.
Yes, of course. I would say so. And I've even tried to, I've nudged at Mendelssohn's Elijah because I really love that masterwork as well. But because this is an annual Messiah Sing, we have to stick to the norm.
Yeah. One piece at a time, one giant yeah. piece.
That's correct.
At
yeah.
a time. About how long did it take to sing the portions of Messiah that you
sang? So we sang through part one with a few other selections from part two. I would say it was about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes.
And this Saturday, the program is looking to be about the same amount of length of time to
yeah.
fit in all of the various ensembles.
Yeah, and usually we ask for no applause between transitions, so that helps to keep that time shortened because it's a lot of music to get through, a lot of voices to hear, a lot of ensembles and everything. So we typically ask for no applause, and that keeps that time down to less than an hour and a half, you know?
Are you performing with one or more choirs?
I'll be performing with University Chorale as well as the Grand Chorus as a whole, which is the combination of University Chorale, Collegiate Singers, Cantus Femina, Gold Company, as well as Campus Choir, I believe.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's a lot of singers to fit into.
I think so, too. Yeah.
There will also be a sort of in-the-round experience for the audience.
Yeah, so typically what happens is the University Chorale opens with a chant, and then we go right into our first piece. And then we have transitions between the ensembles. And with that, we kind of walk around the sanctuary very organized, in a very organized way, to kind of get that transition of the next ensemble up to the front and center part of the sanctuary. Then they'll begin their set, and then we'll have another carol of some sort to help with the next transition and so on and so forth.
Were you part of a Choral Christmas a year ago?
Yes, this is actually my fourth Choral Christmas
fourth.
Here. Yeah.
You really yes. know the routine at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah, I think I got it down at this point.
Yeah. What would you say the difference is between the 4 p.m. show and the 7:30? Are you tired at 7:30 or
I would say the difference is at the 7:30 show we've been stuffed with pasta and a lot of food at that point, but The 4 p.m. show is typically always sold out because it's the earlier show and people are typically traveling from around the state or wherever they're coming from to see their children or, you know, their family perform. But we could always use more people at the 7:30 show as well. We love to have the energy of the audience and we love to share the music to the audience. So we need people to share it too.
Well, this is a good time to mention that, again, the concert is Saturday. Concerts 4 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. this Saturday at First Presbyterian Church. And tickets are available through the Miller Auditorium box office, which is by phone at 387-2300 or online at millerauditorium.com. There's links to the website also at the School of Music website, wmish.edu/music/events, which has this all the details you need. And we're going to go into a few more details here. Mm-hmm. But I thought we might start with some music now, a piece that is one of the very first ones we'll hear on
That's
Saturday.
That's correct, yeah.
It's by John Tavener. We heard The Lamb by the modern composer John Tavener, who writes in an almost ancient style. Beautiful piece that will be performed early on in the Choral Christmas program, which is set for Saturday at 4 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. and featuring many, many choirs from Western Michigan University. I've been talking to Kewan Lambert, a tenor and fourth-year participant in Choral Christmas, and joining us now is the Director of Choral Studies at Western Michigan University, Dr. Kim Adams. Glad
Good
you could
morning.
Join us, too. I'm just thinking that the choral showcase that we were talking about in October seems just a week or two away rather than 4 weeks. You must have started immediately preparing for a Choral Christmas right after that.
We absolutely did. This concert's always a wonderful experience to prepare because for the first concert, we have several weeks and we're getting a chance to know each other and we rehearse. For this concert, we pretty much have 4 weeks interrupted by Thanksgiving break. And it's always amazing to me how tight and musical the ensembles sound at this concert. And the piece you just listened to was actually one of the first pieces that University Chorale did this semester. You'll notice that it's moments of beautiful E minor tonality interspersed with a 12-tone row that is sung forwards, backwards, upside down by all the different parts. And so one of the first things we did in University Chorale this year was learn that 12-tone row so that when it came time to sing the piece, we could be musical and heartfelt and really get at the heart of what it was to be a child asking the question, who are you?
Would you talk about 12-tone rows? Is that just a sequence of 12 notes in a specific order that Tavener wanted, or is it designated by someone else?
So I think it's a really interesting question, particularly for people who might not analyze music deeply. 12-tone row incorporates every pitch of the scale. And most of us will sort of hear a major scale as, you know, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. But a 12-tone row incorporates more pitches than that. And it's almost in what sounds to the listener an unorganized pattern, but it's actually highly organized and very mathematical.
It sounds unorganized because it can create intervals that are unexpected.
It creates dissonance and tension in a really unique way.
And it's using, if you're looking at a keyboard, it uses, instead of just the white notes that you get in a diatonic or do re mi scale, you use the black notes as well.
Absolutely.
And fit them all in. And they can sound a little off color sometimes.
And I think Taverner's setting of that particular poem, which asks the question, little lamb, you know, who made you, right? It's a very childlike poem that asks the question in a childlike way. I think the choice to use that particular kind of tonality is perfect. I have a toddler at home, and I can tell you his questions often don't make any sense. They feel quite random. And this piece really gets at that, I think.
Well, did you program this entire concert, or did you collaborate?
Oh, it's always a collaboration for Choral Christmas. I will program the pieces for University Chorale and Collegiate Singers. Chorale's pieces this year particularly tell a unified story, and they tie the whole concert together from the first note sung to the very last one. And you'll hear references and vocabulary that recur throughout the concert because of University Chorale's pieces and how they're paired. Collegiate Singers is doing a range of music from a piece by Salomone Rossi, Barahu in Hebrew, A Call to Prayer. But they're also singing Mendelssohn. They're singing a spiritual set within the gospel tradition. And Cantus Femina is doing a series of really beautiful pieces arranged by modern living composers. And Gold Company is doing an arrangement by our very own Greg Jaspers and another by Peter Eldridge, who's our artist in residence.
Mm-hmm. I've had the privilege of meeting with and interviewing Peter Eldridge on the air here, a very thoughtful person and who doesn't wear his expertise, you know, on the surface that much. He's more of a listener when you meet him. Have you had a chance, Kiwan, to work with him, mentor to student?
Yeah, so a couple years back when I was a part of the Go Company program, I had the pleasure of working with Peter Eldridge in GC2, and the knowledge he has in jazz and all around with music is kind of mind-blowing, you know? He is very well-versed in what he does and what he says and how he does it, and he is a wonderful educator and not just a performer, not just a jazz pedagogue, or if you want to call him that, but he's extremely intelligent, and the knowledge that I gained in just that short period of time is kind of the basis of my knowledge here at Western, I would say.
Did he encourage you to write your own songs or music a little?
Yeah, he always offered workshops to us students in the vocal jazz area as far as like Go Company and stuff goes. But I myself always held myself back just because I'm like, well, I can't write music. There's nothing in my head to write. I can't put anything together with words and with notes and with chords and music theory and stuff like that. And, you know, being sort of fresh in music at that point, it definitely had an impact on me. It has an impact on me now. With the knowledge I've gained here at Western, I am able to, you know, step out of my comfort zone and you know, dabble with stuff like writing music and like playing chords and, you know, kind of coming up with the melody or with the harmony or with some kind of part to a song.
You decided ultimately to train your voice purely classically, at least for this period of time.
Yes, yeah.
And did Dr. Adams have a say in that, or was that your personal...
When I first got to Western, I will say I was unfamiliar with most of the faculty and the way the program works. I just knew that the program was incredibly hard to get into, and I wanted that drive. Being a competitive person, I wanted that extra push to keep me going. And but I will say Dr. Adams has had a huge impact on my studies here at Western. She's been my choral director for 4 years, and she's extremely intelligent and well-versed in more ways than I could even think of.
Mm-hmm. Did you happen to go to the Baltics this last summer?
Unfortunately, I did not. I had to in a way, pick and choose between the Baltics and going to the Ames program, which I mentioned last week. And being that they're both very financially, you know, demanding, it was one or the other for me. And I was okay with that. I was really okay with that because I'm so young and I have so many more opportunities ahead of me. It didn't really, you know.
There may be other tours in your future.
I hope so.
There absolutely will be. Kiwan is an extraordinary musician and singer with such a rich and beautiful tone and such a keen sense of intonation. Mm. Just it's such a pleasure to have him in the choirs here.
That must have been a difficult choice nonetheless, going to Graz or going with all of your schoolmates to the Baltic tour. But the Graz program is pretty exclusive, right? It's
Indeed it is. You have to audition and you have to be accepted in order to go. And I will just brag about Western for a second here and mention that in many years, we send more students to that program than other universities do because we have so many students get accepted to the program. It just speaks to the high quality of singers that we have at Western Michigan University.
Also in between the choral showcase in October and this upcoming concert was a visit from the Rose Ensemble, which specializes in early music, I would say. Was that a chance for students to get a little further into their understanding of early music practice?
Well, we actually had several singers from the Rose Ensemble stop by University Chorale rehearsal one day to give us a workshop. And what was a wonderful opportunity was being able to speak with the singers about the careers they have in early music and also outside of it as well. Some of them are choral conductors. Some of them are professional singers that do nothing but sing all the time. How wonderful.
Yeah.
And so it was a great experience. We sang some of our repertoire for them and got some feedback and then also asked them about their careers and how to build a career. It's another thing that I'm very proud of with our program at Western is that we have so much interaction with professional musicians and guest artists. Just in the last few years, we've been able to interact with the Rose Ensemble twice, thanks to the Kalamazoo Bach Festival and Michigan Festival of Sacred Music, collaborations with those organizations. We've hosted Roomful of Teeth. We had Heinevanker a few years ago. And then all the jazz groups, the Real Group, and other musicians there.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness, visiting conductors. It's really incredible how without leaving campus, you really get a world of music education.
And it helps to explain how these choirs stay on their toes here at Western Michigan University.
We do.
A Choral Christmas Once Again will be performed at 4 o'clock and 7:30 p.m. at First Presbyterian Church on Bronson Park in downtown Kalamazoo this Saturday. And tickets and more details are available at the Miller Auditorium .com website. The box office number is 387-2300. I thought we would hear a familiar carol called Once in Royal David's City. This looks to be something that will lead a transition during the program.
Well, this is actually our processional carol, and so the audience will not only be treated to a beautiful solo and gorgeous choral singing, but they'll also get to sing along with us while our students process in two by two, almost 180 singers processing into the beautiful space at First Presbyterian Church. Thank you.
Music fit for a cathedral. That was once in Royal David's City. And here in the studio, my guests are the director of choral studies, Dr. Kim Adams, and a fourth or fifth year choral student, voice student, Kiwan Lambert, who is... This will be your fourth choral Christmas.
Yes, my fourth choral Christmas.
Okay. The concerts are at 4 and 7:30 p.m. at First Presbyterian Church on Saturday, and details are online at milleraudatorium.com. The program, as we've mentioned, features five different ensembles. I think if you add them up on your hands, you have mm-hmm. University Chorale, Collegiate Singers, the Campus Choir, mm-hmm. Cantus Femina, and Gold Company. That's five.
Yes. And then all together, they join to form Grand Chorus.
In the pieces we've selected so far, we've heard John Tavener and then a very common or community sort of carol. So it will run the gamut.
It absolutely will. You know, because of the all of the different kinds of choirs we have, we're featuring a range of different pieces. So far this morning, we have featured mostly pieces from the British tradition of lessons and carols. And I think we'll probably continue that as well.
Well, it's a great tradition to draw from, and it is kind of suited for cathedral singing. And you will be at First Presbyterian Church. Have you had a chance to go to the British Isles and look at or sing in cathedrals at any point?
I did as a graduate student. We toured England with Simon Carrington as our director, and we were able to sing in a lot of the spaces that a lot of the British music was written for, and to sing services in those spaces. It's truly an incredible place.
How about you, Kiwan? What is your cathedral experience?
My cathedral experience. So I guess one of the grandest ones I've had in the short period of time I've been studying music in college would probably be singing at the Maria Streisengel in Graz, Austria. It's a 14th century Gothic cathedral.
Can you even believe that it's 14th century when you see it?
I know, and I just step in, I'm like, wow, I just felt so uplifted, and even just walking through the door and looking at the door and touching the door, it's the original door from the original cathedral, and I have no words. I was speechless, and I'm still speechless about it.
Why don't we pick out another carol to feature? As you said, we'll go once again to the British tradition, but one composer in the line of great British composers often takes things a little tongue-in-cheek and writes so well for children, and that's Benjamin Britten.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about his Jubilate Deo.
So this is his Jubilate Deo in C for organ and mixed choir. It's going to feature Dr. Carl Schrock, our university organist, at the keyboard, and University Chorale will be singing this piece. It's joyful and reverent all at once. It's dissonant but never displeasing, and has a sense of whimsy that to me is just perfect for the season.
Jubilate Deo by Benjamin Britten. It is a joyous piece. What does Jubilate Deo mean in Latin?
Oh, well, it's a piece all about celebration and joy.
Wonderful. And on the program, who will be, which choir will be singing that on
That'll
Saturday?
That'll be University Chorale from the Organ Loft.
Carl Schruck playing the organ.
Yes.
He's a longtime faculty member at Western Michigan University and heard in so many concerts accompanying, and he's a great soloist too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you'll really get to hear him play during this particular concert. I don't think we could do Choral Christmas without him. He'll do a phenomenal organ prelude, and then, of course, he plays with several of the choirs and with all of the audience sung carols throughout the concert. And then he'll also be improvising interludes using themes from the pieces that we are singing in order to create, I think, a more exciting sense of musical flow.
And transition, yeah. So there will be invited audience singing.
Oh, absolutely. This is very near and dear to my heart, the idea that we as people all have to sing together. So if you're coming to this concert, plan on singing.
You'll know the tunes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what else can we say? Are there any solo features in the program? Did you pick out any students or faculty to sing by themselves?
Well, we do have one student, Clara Stein, actually, from the same high school as Kiwan.
Yes, that's correct.
Which high school is that?
We graduated from Fraser High School, which is on the east side in Fraser, Michigan, Metro Detroit area.
Mm-hmm. And Clara is going to be the featured soloist opening up Once in David's Royal City, which you just heard.
Right.
That is a treasured soprano solo. I hear that in lessons and carol services that it is a great honor to be chosen for that. And so I treat it the same way at Western. And Clara will be opening our concert with that.
Do you sometimes put yourself in the shoes of a choral director, Kiwan, and think about how you would try to put together a holiday program with all the music there is to choose from?
You know, sometimes I do, just because I like to look at certain situations from the perspective of someone else. And in this case, it'll be the perspective of the director. And I can only imagine what her summers look like when she's planning this music out a whole season in advance, basically. Sometimes even a year in advance, as to what she wants to program for her choir and what she has planned for the grand chorus as a whole. So I just have to think, like, you know, she never stops working. She's always working, even with her child and her child on the way. She's always working, and she's just nonstop work.
Have you ever found that a program you designed in the summertime or another season just isn't what really was needed or is going to work for the concert when it finally gets closer?
Absolutely. My summers, it's interesting that you mentioned working over the summer, because in my summers, you can't walk through our living room, which is where the piano is kept, because there's music all over the floor, sorted into different piles and combinations. And I'll often program more music than is required for a particular year. You never really know what your choirs are going to sound like until auditions happen in the fall. And so I have had it be the case where I have programmed a concert and then I hear my choir and I go, no, oh, we can do this instead. And it's so exciting. So I'll often program sort of a concert A, concert B, concert C. And then when I hear the choirs, I will pick one of the programs or rearrange them. But generally, our year is programmed in advance, and I'm fortunate to work at a place like Western where the students can handle just about anything I throw at them.
Will it be possible to go on another special tour anytime soon?
I certainly hope so. I thought that that was a really important experience for the students to have, and it certainly shaped even our year this year differently, having done that. And so I hope we'll get a chance to do that quite soon, certainly within the next 2 years.
How about appearing at choral conferences and festivals more close to home?
We'll absolutely do that. And in fact, we usually sing off campus at least once per year.
Yeah. What's the famous choral director? Is it the Choral Directors Conference?
Well, yes. The American Choral Directors Association has several conferences per year. There's generally one for each state and then one for each region. And then every other year we have a national conference. And now that association is connected to the International Federation for Choral Music, which holds international conventions every 3 years. I was at the convention this past year in Barcelona, and I believe the next one is in Australia, a bit far perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. A long plane ride at least. The university choirs will appear in A Choral Christmas on Saturday at 4 o'clock and 7:30 p.m. My guests are Dr. Kim Adams and Kiwan Lambert. And maybe we'll pick out another one that is particularly associated with your recent tour to the Baltic region. Would you introduce this piece called Stars?
So this is a piece by Erik Eschenvalds, a composer that I've been programming a lot of music by recently. He's a fairly young composer, incredibly successful, and writes music beautifully with English texts and in Latvian texts. This particular piece called Stars is set to a poem by Sarah Teasdale. And what's so incredible about this particular setting is that the choir plays tuned wine glasses while they sing. And so the poem is about sitting out on a hill and smelling the pine trees around and then looking up and seeing a massive dome of stars twinkling and shining. And our perspective of the piece really takes you from the magnitude of the universe into the individual and what it feels like to be one single person in a gigantic galaxy full of stars.
And you've sung this piece with the chorale too, Kiwan.
Yes, so we just started the piece, I would say, immediately following our fall showcase, actually. And I can say that I have no doubts with singing in this ensemble that this piece would be nothing more but pure excellence and portray exactly what's in the piece. The stars, the different moments in the piece, the continuous music lines, and then it's most of the time I have no words just because I'm always astounded by the musicality I'm surrounded by in the ensemble.
Yeah. The music speaks for itself.
Yes, it does.
That's just a stunner of a piece called Stars by a gentleman whose name, Mr. Eschenvalds. I didn't catch the first name. That's one work on a program filled with many works, some familiar, some unfamiliar, that make up A Choral Christmas, which is featuring five different choirs coming together, all associated with and studying at Western Michigan University. We just have a few minutes left here with Dr. Kim Adams and Kiwan Lambert. So I guess I'd ask you to try to think of anything we may have missed about Saturday's performances and anything you want to share here at the end of our hour.
Well, I'm not sure this has been mentioned yet, but our student chapter of the American Choral Directors Association is collecting winter gear. for a charity. And so if you want, when you come, you can bring gently used or new coats and hats and mittens, because winter in Michigan can be very cold. So we'll be collecting these items, and they'll be distributed to families and children and adults in need in our area.
And Kiwan?
I just want to say that the saying, the more the merrier, is very applicable to this concert. And we love to see standing room only from our perspective as the performer. It just keeps the energy going. It keeps us wanting to give more, even though we may be maxed out at a point. We just love to give more to our audience. And we would love to see a lot of people at the 4 o'clock and the 7:30 show.
This will be the fourth time you've participated in a choral Christmas. Can you remember how, leading up to the other concerts in years past, as a student, you must have been a little stressed out and things happening, and maybe it felt like a little too much at the time?
Yeah, so I will pinpoint my first year in Choral Christmas. I was one singer of about 90, if not more, might have been 96, in collegiate singers. And that was extremely stressful because we were packed like sardines up in the choir loft that's above the pulpit. And I remember sitting on a stair and I'm like, wow, this is a great experience, but you know, I would love to have a chair, or I would love to feel comfortable. But it was something that kind of just started, I guess, a foundation for me as being a choral singer here at Western. You know, the show must go on. Everyone must perform. Everyone must participate if you are a choral singer here at Western. So,
With choral music, there's a sort of a joyful release at finally, you know, presenting it to the public.
Yes. Yeah. I would agree.
I think this year we may all have chairs.
So comfortable singers means a very happy concert. Well, I wish you all the best for Saturday.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me again. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's terrific. I come back again next week, you want.
Awesome.
We could make this a regular thing. The concert is two concerts, actually, 4 o'clock and 7:30 on Saturday at First Presbyterian Church. And tickets and more information are available through the Miller Auditorium box office at 387-2300 or millerauditorium.com. And we'll finish with one of the big audience carols, O Come All Ye Faithful.